You're listening to Classic Business with Michael Avery, brought to you by Altron, there when it matters.
The Classic Business Show is brought to you by Altron Technology Partners in your digital transformation journey. For more information, visit them at altron.com. Altron, there when it matters. Well, on the eve of the President's State of the Nation address, what is the real state of the country's ailing economy? We know it's bad. We know growth has been revised downwards almost every year for the last 10. Is there a pathway back to recovery realistically? And is there a future South Africa that offers any hope of prosperity? Is the rot too deep? Many cynics say it is. Will we be downgraded? Can Eskom be saved? Can some of those ideological shibboleths be put to rest? Well, we've assembled a rather formidable panel for you tonight to share some good ideas to get South Africa growing again. Firstly, on the line, we've got Lumkile Mondi, who is currently a senior lecturer at WITS. He was previously chief economist and executive vice president for professional services at the IDC. Good evening, Lumkile, and thanks for joining us.
Good evening to you and to your listeners. Thanks for having me.
In the studio in Johannesburg, we've got Dr. Asghar Adelzadeh, who's a director and chief economic modeler at Applied Development Research Solutions. Dr. Adelzadeh, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you. Hello to listeners and everyone. Thank you.
Also in our Johannesburg studio is Kuseni Dlamini, who's chairman of MassMart and Aspen PharmaCare. Kuseni, good to chat to you again.
Thank you very much, Michael. It's great to be here. Good evening to all the listeners and my fellow panelists.
Here in the Fine Music Radio studio, I've got Jeff Jacobs, who's the new president of the Cape Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us.
Good evening, Michael, and to the listeners as well. Thanks for inviting me onto the panel.
And Brian Cantor, who is head of the Investec Wealth and Investment Research Institute, and as we know, Christo Wiese's favorite economist. Brian, always good to chat to you.
Yes, a pleasure to be here.
We are waiting for Zwelinzima Mavavi, who's the Secretary General of SAFTU, who's apparently waylaid in some unexpected traffic. Brian, kick us off, because it seems everyone has an opinion on how to fix the broken and stagnant South African economy. But I've yet to come across a more compelling, succinct and pithy explanation than the one that you delivered in your book, Get South Africa Growing. And it's an exercise in persuasion. You argue with facts that there's a better way than the current state-led centrist approach that we've adopted for so long. Why are states just so bad at steering economic growth?
Well, I think short answer is their interests that stand in the way of that growth, that interests that are protected against the forces of competition, be it in the labor market, the product market, service market, and that gets in the way of people whose aspirations for a better life drive economies forward when they are allowed to. So government has a crucial role. But people are enterprising, are hardworking, are capable of pursuing their self-interest in a way that lifts an economy. And that's what's happened in the West. If you, look at the success stories, that's pretty much the explanation. If you look at the failures, you see many countries dominated by a narrow interest, a sort of an elite group that takes control, that takes over the country and exploits its finances. Of course, South Africa was in grave danger of following that particular path. So if you want some optimism, I would say, thank goodness we were alive to the state capture. We became alive to it. And I think maybe we blocked at least to a degree that the prospect that South Africa too would become dominated by a narrow and economically powerful and therefore politically powerful interest group. So maybe that danger at least has been averted.
We talk about interest groups in South Africa, and it's the one thing that seems to have held us back politically. There's a broad church, a tripartite alliance between COSATU and the ruling ANC and the Communist Party, and we're an economy of trade-offs between these various factions. Brian, I want to bring Lumkile in here and ask you, Lumkile, what are the key trade-offs that the President is faced with at this, his second State of the Nation address in the space of just a few months sandwiched between the general elections? What are the courageous decisions that you would like to see the President take tomorrow to demonstrate that the path to reform is now lying before us, and we're willing to take those first steps.
Thank you. The president is facing a very difficult challenge going forward. A divided nation, rising unemployment, inequality, and more importantly also, even within his own party, huge division, as we have witnessed in the appointment of the chief whips of various committees in the sixth parliament, which really the core of those are a number of Zuma cabinet members and alliance partners coming from the Premier League. Therefore, he's got to address the interests of that faction, the interests of business, labor, of society, with meager resources, given the hollowing out of institutions, as well as high debt to GDP ratio that the country is facing, in an environment globally of a low growth scenario, given the fact that South Africa missed the boat during quantitative easing due to its internal focus and the looting of state resources by the ANC-led regime. So really, I expect him to give a lot of promises around the restructuring of Eskom, but very little detail, because I don't think there's a plan on the table of dealing with the challenges of economic growth, high levels of unemployment and inequality. So I think South Africa is facing a very big challenges and has got to embark on huge social reforms if it wants to move forward.
Dr. Adil Zaidi, you are in the world of applied modelling, and they've sometimes been rather caustically referred to as weapons of maths destruction, and that's maths with a TH. But we do rely on these models to show us what works and what doesn't. And you're on record as saying if we want to achieve the 5% envisaged by the president and by the NDP, one of the most effective levers is good policy. Which particular areas would you like to see policy improve in?
That's an excellent question. I think once again South Africa is at a crossroad in terms of economic policy. It is going to continue on an austerity approach to economic policy or switch to growth-oriented approach. And I think that's where we have done a number of, you know, simulations and over the next 12 years to 2030 to see a status quo, where does it take us, and what else, what other alternative options do we have. And I think what happens is that if we continue on the current austerity-focused macroeconomic policy what we have is that what is being added to it is that discussions around what we need is just macroeconomic reforms. And that means, you know, just promoting export of, for example, in agriculture, or expand our tourism or service sector, and competitiveness, labor productivity. We have simulated these and see these are good policies, but in terms of over the next 12 years, we find that it will give us a growth rate of less than 3%, 2.7%. Unemployment rate by 2030 still would be about 24%, and poverty rate would be 28%. So they will make a difference, but it is not that significant. So then I think we have to, that's where we look at other additional policies. And I think on the macro side, more government, for example, in terms of fiscal policy, in public investment, is very important in terms of, it has shrank, in terms of its investment over the last, 8-9 years relative to before. That can be helpful. Monetary policy is very important in terms of, being more growth oriented, and in terms of interest rates and supporting 6% growth rate, achieving 6% growth rate. And credit extension, for example, we have from 1994 to 2008, average annual growth of credit extension to private sector was 15.3%. In the last 9 years, it's 7.5%. So when we simulate and we say, well, what if that increases, these changes happen, we get more increase of we get to about growth rate of about 4.7% or so. We get the unemployment to come to about 18% and the poverty rate of still around 20%. So That brings social policies, for example, expanded public works programs, social securities, other measures, and also private investment. Very important. PIC investment of about 100 billion over the next 5 years in manufacturing sector, or the PPGI, public-private growth initiative, discussion about 500 billion. If those realize, I think by what we our simulation shows, it will take us to about 5.7% growth rate, average annual growth rate. Unemployment rate will go down by more than half to about 13%, and the poverty rate also is declined from 38% where we are now to about 12% by 2030. So there are possibility. It's about choices that are being made, policy choices that are being made.
And we see where those choices are made in the world and the fruits of success that those countries are reaping. So it's not about reinventing the wheel here. Just stay right there, chaps. We have to cross to Katleho for the traffic. And when we return, I'd like to get the views of the businessmen on the panel representing sort of large business and small business and what they'd like to see out of tomorrow's sonar to help business grow and, by extension, create employment and help people and offer them the promise of a better life. You're listening to Classic Business.